This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasudhi. Dogs' joints, cats' joints. They take a pounding from running after tennis balls to jumping off the slopes in the park. And for some dogs, for an example, that's a problem. More use means more injuries and that can lead to joint-related problems such as anterior cruciate ligament tears or what we refer to as ACL. This is not us we're talking about. We're talking about the animals today, as well as it could lead to osteoarthritis. In this month's supplement of Pet Health Issues with Dr. Siva Gurunathan, we explore your pet's mobility and joint health. Dr. Siva is a practicing vet as well as the Vice President of the Malaysian Animal Welfare Foundation. Welcome to the show, Dr. Siva.
Thank you.
Welcome to you. Why did you even decide to talk about joint health? I mean, I have a dog. It's something that I would never have even thought about. I mean, but why this topic?
It is a disease that is seen, not seen so easily, recognized so easily. But as a dog grows up older, or the cat grows up older, they show signs of lameness, mm-hmm. and then the problem of when a dog doesn't participate with your activities, then you feel very discouraged. Why I have started off with this breed as such.
Right. When you talk about lameness, what are you referring to?
Lameness is definitely joint is a very. Let me give you an anatomical position of the joint first. Mm-hmm. Joint is connected by cartilage that covers up as a capsule. Two bones are attached together. In between, there's some ligaments. Mm-hmm. There's some soft tissue cartilage there, which acts as a cushion between the two bones. That is anatomical. Lameness is a physical stress on the joints caused by chondrocytes or cartilage damage. Mm-hmm. Once the cartilage which is there, which is a cushion, gets damaged, then it initiates arthritis.
Okay. So are you talking about, is arthritis the leading problem?
Yes, that's a leading problem. And this damage goes on sometimes without inflammation, so clients don't recognize it, mm-hmm. and activates enzymes, and then there's a degeneration of the joint. But further, if it's neglected further, then it degradation and causes metric damage and ultimately structural or function of the failure of the function of the joint. Mm-hmm. That means the joint gets stiffened.
Right. Just like you and I.
Yes, just like us.
There are many types of joint problems in dogs as well as cats, and they are developmental or they can be degenerative. You want to just go through developmental problems?
Developmental problems is usually inherited. It's usually by breeding, poor breeding. And especially in our country here, we have no records of proper breeding. Mm. So what happens is animal that has predisposed to hip dysplasia, there's a joint, hip joint problems, is bred and bred and bred. So the genes are passed through. So the control of this breeding is yet not been properly managed here. Number two is we buy a lot of pets from pet shops. There's no history of those pets. The larger breeds tend to have more predisposing factors than the younger ones, mm-hmm. and the smaller breeds. But most of the larger breeds, you can recognize it by about 9 months to about 14 months. That's already very late, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're relatively young.
Young, they're relatively young. Mm-hmm. And again, these dogs that are predisposed to this sort of joint problems must be managed differently. People don't understand that. They come for regular vaccines and everything, and then they take it back and they have nothing more to do with it, mm-hmm. till the lameness sets in. Once the lameness sets in, it becomes a bit too late because the damage is done to the cartilage, as I explained to you just now.
You know, when you talk about genetic diversity, does that sort of limit orthopedic problems overall? I mean, we've had mutts, if you want to call it, you know, if that's what you want to call them. They seem to have less problems than the dogs of specific breeds. So you're saying genetic diversity sort of limits orthopedic problems?
Yes. Sometimes crossbred, when they are crossbred between two poorly disposed joint problems animals, mm-hmm. are put together, then obviously they're going to breed that factors right through. Pedigree, large breed, fast-growing pedigree dogs, especially Labrador, Golden Retrievers, very popular breeds, Rottweilers, German Shepherds, all very heavily predisposed to hip dysplasia or even stifle joint problems. Mm-hmm. The smaller breeds are more prone. The smaller breeds, which is Shih Tzus and all these things, which is very popular, basically we see a lot of genetical problems there too, with stifle joint problems, for the malconformation of the stifle joints or knee joint. So I think these animals have to be tended to earlier, if recognized, and they don't come in time till the dogs start showing lameness,
yep.
which is always too late.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a cure. Arthritis is not curable, but it can be prevented, can be slowed down, can be managed by medications and drugs, and even now they're talking about food these days.
We'll come back to the sort of symptoms or, you know, that we should be looking out for in the early stages. What about cats?
Cats, I think that's a big story here. Basically, it's a disease that has been there, osteoarthritis, but it's not well recognized disease by the veterinarians. It's very common, yet under-recognized due to false assumption of the lack of awareness. Not awareness by the vets, awareness by the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't expect a cat to have arthritis.
Of course.
And basically, I think it's due to a few factors here. They are small. They're less than 6 kg. And they don't show up anything when they are small. They don't show up easily when they move. So they don't recognize. They are good at modifying their lifestyle to adapt pain and disability. Cats, have you seen how they respond to a human? They come, they push around, they
versatile.
Don't care.
Versatile.
Yes, that's it. And the normal inactive behavior and lack of leash exercise, we don't take them out for walks,
no,
so we don't.
Don't
recognize it at all.
Yeah.
And cats' intolerance, when you start palpating the joints, they try to tolerate it and they pass by, and you neglect to recognize the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. And very seldom we take x-rays of cats for joint problems.
Right.
So that's where the big slip is.
They have a high...
Because I'm not paying a lot of attention to this now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe there's a fair amount of cats with arthritis.
What about degenerative diseases?
Degenerative disease is also common, especially hip dysplasia in cats. I've seen a couple of them because we recognized it,
mm-hmm.
because there's lameness. And then we have to do surgical procedures. We couldn't manage it. Because too late. And then they have stifle joint problems, cruciate ligaments sometimes tear. I don't know how they tear there. It should be for a big dog's cruciate ligament tear in a small... I think they jump on heights and...
They do. They certainly do.
That's a problem.
But you always... It's always a soft landing, so you
soft landing, and then they think that they have got away with it.
Yeah, they're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
How much does the pet's weight play in joint health?
Every breed has got its own optimum standards of weight. Like, for instance, a Labrador, when you talk about a Lab, or Golden Retriever, you talk about less than 30 kg. Any time when a young growing puppy exceeds about 20% of the growth rate, recommended growth rate, they are in for trouble. And that is common. Labs and Golden Retrievers are always exceeded their body weight by about 20 to 25%, because it's so they love food, they enjoy themselves, they entertain their owners. There's a lot of fun there.
And they're manipulative. So we keep feeding them.
Feeding them.
Scraps off the table.
I think you keep the weight down, I think there's one problem down there.
Is fat the source of inflammation in the joints?
Fat.
Mm-hmm.
Fat is not so, but omega-3, omega-6 is one of the fat components. Seems to have played a big part in managing pain in the joints.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they have come up with the nutrigenomics on managing joint problems.
Mm-hmm. Many of us run with our dogs, Dr. Seva, but are dogs made to run like us?
Yes, dogs. See, I have been having dogs all my life, and I've been using them every morning for my walks or companionship. We spend about half an hour together. As the last dog I had went on to 15 years, and suddenly I realized the last 2 years he started slagging.
Mm-hmm.
He was not coping up with me. He was going behind, and I had to coax him to move. Then I realized he was getting into osteoarthritis. And that's how he died. He died of osteoarthritis at the age of 15, which is quite a respected age for a dog,
mm-hmm.
you see. But I think walking and running with dogs is quite... I think it's quite, they love it. They like to participate with you.
Yep.
So it's not an abuse.
Mm-hmm. So you also only realized he had osteoarthritis arthritis when he was falling behind you when were walking. Yes.
I did realize that he was having problems, but as he passes 8 years old, those days we didn't have very much of a knowledge of how to manage osteoarthritis as a younger dog. And I think we have now come up with a lot of documentations and publications and all those things. We know exactly what we should do.
Wonderful.
I could have managed it. I could have slowed it down further.
Yeah, yeah.
Not cure it, but slow it down further.
Sure. Any other reasons why our pets land with joint problems?
Weight, genetics, trauma, accidents. People don't take... You see, they keep a large breed in a enclosed area within the small premises of the area, which basically gets tiled, and it's on a slippery floor. They slip and fall all the time, and they get excited when they see you. They slip and fall because they want to jump, they can't jump. So all these damages that's done by trauma can cause it. Obesity is one thing. Age is another factor. As they grow older, as I said, my dog, I started seeing his signs when he was about 11 years old.
Yeah,
that's a bit too late. So
those are some of the causes. Yeah. I mean, we all have marble flooring, we all have tiles.
Yes.
I mean, how do we prevent that?
Prevent that is you have to take them out for walks on his own. A fair amount of exercise is required to exercise the muscles. Otherwise, the quadriceps and all these things on the side of the muscles that supports the joints gets atrophied. You can even recognize a dog by the way it stands. That's why I always say when they come in for evaluation of hips, we just don't believe in the x-rays alone. We take them to an open space and let them run them two and three times, because then we can see the alignment of the joints to the bones and see whether he's out-placed, in-placed. The manner in which he positions his legs while he stands for you, that gives you a good alignment point. And then after that, we take them for x-rays. X-rays should be, series of x-rays must be taken. You just can't take one x-ray and then say you've got it right. Series of x-rays, that means you have to take all the joints, the main joints of the body, place them properly so that the alignment is right. Otherwise, the x-ray doesn't make any sense to it. So I think all these things plays a part in getting it right. Once you recognize the problem, then it's easy for you to manage it.
But you need to recognize it, and that is the challenge. We're discussing pet mobility as well as joint health. Up next, we'll find out whether, we seem to be seeing more dogs with osteoarthritis, or is it just that these conditions are being diagnosed early? On The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. Dr. Sivagurunathan, a practicing veterinarian as well as the vice president of the Malaysian Animal Welfare Foundation, with me. We're discussing your pet's mobility as well as joint health. Now, Dr. Siva, it would seem that more dogs are now having treatment for joint problems. Are there more problems, or are these conditions just being diagnosed early?
We are seeing more problems is basically because of the association of the people and the animals together. They are more bonded together. So they understand a lot more. That means they're spending a bit more time. They're taking the dogs out for a walk, recognizing it. The age of the lifespan of these dogs have now increased to about 14, 15, 16 years. So obviously this is a aging disease. This comes in more prominently seen after 8 or 9 years old. Sometimes seen very young too, that is congenitally affected. And abuse of food, obesity is another big problem that we see. That's why every time we see an obese dog, we tell them, look, reduce your weight, reduce your weight, reduce your weight, because that's what we are looking at now. And I think lastly is the genetics. The gene pool is rather small here. We are breeding the same dogs through and throughout. So you're breeding the same problems inside, in and out.
How do you manage that?
That's the problem. The kennel clubs and all these clubs should take a bit more respectful stand on it, because they're breeding, and they're breeding dogs for sure purposes. So if that control is there, then obviously you get better dogs. Mm-hmm.
Is the industry well regulated, Dr. Seva? I mean, why is this happening? And, you know, at the end of the day, the consumers are the ones who are, you know, burdened with these problems.
I think for a long time, these areas have been neglected, I think, especially pet shops and all the other things. But I think now, with the Animal Act and all the other issues that is coming through, the department is taking a better control of these pet shops and all the other things. And obviously, you might have, there might be standards brought in soon.
Implement.
That might help.
Yeah. Well, in this country, enforcement is always the challenge, isn't it? We can have all the acts in the world, but if no one's implementing it, then, you know, where are we going with all of this? But when the animal, when are we anticipating the Animal Act to come into force?
Yes, it is already
in force?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about that another day. But just coming back to osteoarthritis and joint problems, I mean, how do you manage it without resorting to surgery?
Normally what is done is they use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like NSAID, which is a common drug used by most veterinarians.
Yeah.
But you can't use it continuously because it might affect the liver. And if you are going to use it for a long period of time, obviously you have to do a liver evaluation test periodically to see whether the animal is not affected by the drug. The other way is nutraceutical supplements has been talked about for a long time. We have been using it for the last 20 years. This is glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate, which is used even in humans for joint supplements and chondroidal protection and inhibiting degradation and reducing pain in the joints. This is the good stuff.
That will not be a burden on the kidney, on the liver?
That can be used as a supplement. It doesn't act. And green lip measles is used as a pain control these days. I use it quite extensively.
What is that?
It's a shellfish that is found in New Zealand. And this extracts of it tends to control the pain, which is not a drug, but can be used quite extensively.
Is this done specifically for animals, or
it's done for humans as well as for animals?
All right,
yes. I can take it myself.
All right.
So I think it's perfectly okay.
Okay, which brings me to the question of: can we use human supplements for
animals? No, you can't. You have to go for animal supplements because the dosage is different.
Okay.
So you have to use that, and then the other thing is, nutraceutically, they have talked about dietary managements these days. And a company has come up with some JD as a food, which has what it does is it tends to control. There's a special product known as pentothenic acid, and this, what it does is it tends to reduce the pain and inflammation in the cartilage, and it also has omega-3, omega-6 in right proportion, which tends to reduce inflammation. So both put together, they seem to give a bit of relief to the animal if it started early. But it's good to start since it's a diet and it's not a drug, you can use it for all predisposing animals at the early age of 8 months or 9 months.
Okay. Just as an example, I have a beagle who's about 15 months old.
Yes.
Can I start giving her supplements or additives and to give her the right, you know, diet, to put her on the right diet to avoid these problems in her later years?
I think if you put it on the right diet and you're quite a balanced diet, then you don't have to give any supplements. But when you have a predisposing factor in the dog, especially if you know that he's having some hip problems, then I think it's good to supplement it with the right food and right thing. At least it does it without using pain controls to control the pain.
Right. And how would I know whether she's predisposed to it or not?
15 months, I think you have to go for an x-rays. And
even
is he showing any lameness or anything?
No, she's not. None at all.
No, if she's not showing lameness, but it's wise to go for an x-ray because the alignment of the joints can be seen properly.
Okay.
And then the positioning of the joint to the limbs.
So failing which, at what age, you know, it's a degenerative disease.
Yes.
It comes with age.
Age.
So would you suggest then she starts supplementing at an older age?
I think start off when it's young. The protecting the cartilage is more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Start it off when it's young. Why wait for a problem, erosion, and then start supplementing it? It won't do much good.
Right. What about rehabilitative signs, signs?
This is a field that has been totally forgotten in veterinary medicine for a long time.
Physiotherapy, isn't it?
Physiotherapy.
Yeah.
We do it. We have a fair amount of interest in it because I believe that with physiotherapy, you can restore the function of the joint to a certain degree, especially after surgery, when the muscles are affected. Muscles tend to get atrophied. So if you give a physiotherapy and the right amount of through ultrasounds and manipulations and acupunctures they use sometimes, it tends to relieve pain and gets the animal to move further, better. And physiotherapy always improves a joint, that's for sure.
Okay.
There's no question about it.
Even though you haven't gone for surgery?
Even
though the pet hasn't undergone surgery, you can still do physiotherapy?
Yes, if it has atrophied muscles, yes, you can.
Okay.
That's
what,
for sure.
So what are surgical options then? And when do you decide surgery is
needed? Surgical option is when it's beyond the management of medications. Normally, hip dysplasia. We try to do it as early as possible because sometimes we leave it too long, the muscle atrophy sets in. Then the animal becomes paraplegic or sometimes might not even use his limbs at all. That at the time surgery is not going to help. So you must know when to get in. And joint surgeries are quite common now these days because of the problems that we face. But we try to keep it as a last resort, not straight away.
Right.
We don't use it as a...
How long does it take to see improvements in your pet's joint?
Usually health? After the surgery, I think it takes about 10 days. And physio has to go on with it. Because with physio, I think you get a better usage of the joint. I think you can't neglect that.
Just to come back to additives and supplements, Dr. Siva, I mean, is there scientific evidence that it actually helps to relieve inflammation and, you know, help with joint problems?
For joint problems, I think as the two adjectives I mentioned earlier, I think they are quite good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to, you best to use it because it doesn't do any harm to the system.
Yeah.
And if you are treating for joint problems, I think this is the best. I think this is a good supplement to go on with.
Scientifically proven?
Scientifically proven, yes. And even the nutrition, JD, I think... it has given, as far as I see, a fair amount of relief to animals. We do not know how well it works on in... Nutrigenomics is a new field altogether. And they're trying to use the sciences to interfere with the genes and harmful genes that is there that causes damage to the joint. They're trying to overcome it with the food, with the omega-3 and this... pentostenic acid that is used quite regularly as a supplement. That they found that causes delays the reaction in the changes of the joint. Why not?
So it's gene manipulation.
Yes.
With diet.
With diet. That's what they've come up with, and that they seem to be working on it. And there's a lot of interest all over the place on their sciences.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought, right?
Yes, I know.
Stem cells is another area which could help with joint problems.
We have just started it, but last 2 months ago on stem cell, we have about 6 or 7 cases that we have done. We harvest the stem cell from the umbilical fat, and then we grow up the stem cell from that. We have apparatus to grow it up, and then we transfer the stem cell into the articular joint, affected joints, as well as intravenously.
But this would mean you need to know the mother, you need to harvest the stem cells from the umbilical cord?
Of the same dog.
Of the same dog?
Same dog. We are not giving it to A to B.
Yeah.
Because then they might have a reaction.
Does this have to be done at a very early stage of the dog's life?
Prevention is better than cure. I think if you suspect a dog's alignment of the bones are out, I think you can do it. I've done it on a Great Dane puppy, which was dumped on me. That dog is doing very well.
Mm-hmm. How old was the Great Dane when you know,
it was 6 months old. Now he's about 7-8 months now. He's in open space. I left him in my farm. He runs well. And it's perfect. I think I've seen him, his joints are moving very well and he's very, very active. And it also improves his skin conditions too. Stem cell has a lot of benefits. You can't run away from that. There's not much literature now out yet in the market for us to understand it better.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone who does stem cells are having their own experience.
Yes. I mean, some you have opponents and proponents, but it really depends on the individual, I think.
Yeah.
So are you saying then we should all bank our pet's stem cell?
We are going to do that soon.
Oh,
I think
dear.
Probably next year. Next year, we're going to start the bank.
This is amazing,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, we're going to start the bank. That means every animal that comes for spaying and neutering, we will get the consent of the owner and reserve the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And keep it in this. We keep it in the bank.
Right.
And for later use if it's necessary. Because if you harvest it from a younger dog, the stem cell is much more active.
Mm-hmm.
Older animals, it goes down by age.
Will that cost a lot of money?
Yeah.
I'm sure it will. Even for us to bank our stem cells, that costs quite a bit.
Costs a little bit of money, but yeah, it's not so bad. If you know any one time, you can move on to it.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for humans, I think they are using it here in this country. And they are quite, they claim a lot of some good success, but I think you need time for to understand it better. See, like this puppy, I think after 4 years later, I would be able to take an x-ray and say how well it has done.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is quite a bad hips.
Yeah. There's also, I mean, for humans, we have the plasma-rich platelet.
Yes.
Will that ever be used in animals?
I'm not very sure. Whether there's probably if there's a use then obviously there's a need, there's always a use, you know.
That's
isn't
right.
It?
Yeah. Should you limit your dog's activity if he has joint problems? Should you limit your animal's activity if they do have joint problems?
Yes. You can take them for walks. Swimming is very good. Water therapy.
Yeah, but not all dogs swim.
Yes, but you can put them in the water and let them walk in the water. Yes, walking the water is a very good therapy for animals with hip and joint problems.
Mm-hmm.
You can also take them for walks. Do not take them up the staircase and down the staircase if they really have bad hips. But I think they won't even try coming down the staircase. But walking is quite a good exercise, mm-hmm, if you can manage it. But walking in the water, or even animals will swim. Once you put them in the water, they'll swim. I've seen, we have introduced water therapy or treadmill water in our system, and it's quite useful,
mm-hmm,
because the animal is walking for 15, 20 minutes with resistance, and that develops the muscles, the quadriceps,
sure,
and everything starts developing. I think it's 2-3 times a week you can give them an exercise and see how they do.
Mm-hmm. What about the cats? I mean, you can't walk them. How do you manage them?
The treatment for osteoarthritis in cats is limited. We have to do the surgical procedures and get away with it. You can't use non-steroidal drugs because they might not accommodate it. They might vomit and all the other things. And supplements, yes, you can give. I've not thought of anything else. Stem cell, I've not thought about it yet. But I think we have to think about it soon.
Yeah.
We have to.
Because
but they are not as bad as the in the dogs. We can obviously see it. But cats tend to hold it up, so you don't see it at all.
Right. So obviously when they come in, it's almost surgery time.
Surgery. This
literally.
That's the only option.
Are there any preventive measures when it comes to orthopedic problems overall for dogs and cats?
Preventive problems.
Yeah, preventive measures.
Measures, mm-hmm, yes. After the surgery, so, or is it before?
Before
the surgery. Before the surgery, I think we are using surgery as the last option.
Mm-hmm.
And we are managing the dog or cat properly with proper nutrition, exercise, basic minimal exercise, and I don't see any problems as such.
Mm-hmm. How often should we evaluate the dog's or cat's joints?
I think the best is to start off between 9 to 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's the earliest. That's the time when the cartilage gets hardened. And obviously you can see the changes if there's anything there. Then once you have made the assessment and you've graded the hips, it's grade 5 or grade 4 or grade 3 or grade 2, then you have to keep them, advise them on the food management is so important. And the way they should exercise the dog, or if it's a big dog kept in a small compound, you must tell them, please take it out for walks, because muscle atrophy is setting in.
Mm-hmm.
All this basic. You have to get the history of the client first to understand and treat it on an individual basis rather than collectively talking about the same thing.
Do you see advancements coming that will help our dogs and cats recover faster or heal more completely?
I think with the changes which I told you recently with physiotherapy, stem cell, I think the recovery is faster, should be faster now.
Okay. So as you said, it's about managing the problem.
Managing the problem.
There is no real cure, is there?
Yes, there's no cure. No permanent cure for... Once an osteoarthritis sets in, it's going to be a lifetime. But you have to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to tell you that sometimes with osteoarthritis, people tend to go for surgery and then they forget about the physio. It's a lifetime physio for them. They have to do it at home. If not, they don't even have to go to a center. They're given a special amount of exercise that they keep on building up resistance on their joints and bones and build up their muscles.
Your final message on joint health?
Yes.
Your final message?
My message is, I have gone through this a little bit on my own self, and I know what it is all about. It's very painful. So obviously you have to follow instructions, keep your weight under control, number one. Number two, eat the right food. Number three, go for your physios regularly and build up your muscles fast. Because once you build up your muscles, I think it's well protected. You can go on with your supplements, which does no harm. It doesn't do any harm at all. So if it does any good, it's good. I consider that way is a better way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep yourself moving. The joints must keep on moving. So if you keep a cat or dog, if you find it's an arthritic dog, and they keep it confined, they are finished. In 3-4 months, they'll be a vegetable. But if you take them out for walks and give them or even water therapy, walking into the pool of water or just walking inside the water, that will be good enough for them. You don't even have to run.
And some of these things you can start, practicing when they're very young. For an example,
yes.
Managing their weight, isn't it?
Yes, managing the weight and exercising, socializing with your dog. The best way is exercising, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a true. We believe now more and more people are doing it. Along the road, you can see a lot of dogs being taken for walks these days.
Yep.
And cats, unfortunately, is a bit sad that there's not much of a management like what we have for dogs. They are very sensitive to most of the drugs, and surgery seems to be the only option at the end.
And doing the right things, I suppose, you can delay the onset of osteoarthritis.
Osteoarthritis, yep. That's a thing.
Thank you very much for joining
me.
Dr. Siva Gurunathan, practicing veterinarian as well as the vice president of the Malaysian Animal Welfare Foundation on your pet's mobility and joint health on The Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.